Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Unwatchables. I am your conductor, and you will be along for the ride. On your left, you can see a monument to Jackie.
I'm an Oompa Loompa, and I watch kids suffer in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Whenever someone drowns,
whenever some kid
in Mr. Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory is in danger, I just dance around and pray that they do not survive. Because if they do not survive, then it will show that my dancing killed them, and that brings me much joy. My dancing
Oompa
is
Loompa
my...
doo-ba-dee-doo.
Being a little...
I've got another
Are you an Oompa Loompa? Are you an Oompa Loompa? You are not worthy enough to sing the Oompa Loompa song, you little, little... I'm a good boy and I will not swear. That's how Oompa Loompa-ish I am. Oompa Loompas have good morals.
They should make a sequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
So as I was saying, I am an Oompa Loompa, and whenever some kid in my boss's factory is, like, in danger...
Can we not do this anymore?
I just have the sudden urge just to dance. I don't know what it is. It just brings me so much joy. And I just feel like just twiddling my toes, spinning around my little pants and just dancing along the road, you know? Don't you feel that sometimes, Connor? Don't you?
Do you think they should make a sequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Debatable. Unless they make Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, which is the sequel to the book.
What is that about? I've never read it.
It's basically about Willy Wonka passing on the job to Charlie, and like it's about him moving in, and they like explore the factory and the Great Glass Elevator and stuff.
No, I think it'd be cool to see like one where like all the little kids like sue Willy Wonka as adults or whatever.
Well, that's inevitable.
So
it really is inevitable that he's gonna have quite the lawsuit on his hands. But here's the thing. It is no longer his factory. It is Charlie's factory. So I wonder who has to deal with
Sue Charlie.
I wonder who has to deal with all those lawsuits.
Well, it was Wonka's fault, but it was Charlie's factory.
But it is Charlie's factory. If I go over to your house...
I guess if you had an Amazon man drop a package on your head and Jeff Bezos stepped down from Amazon, and would you sue him or his replacement?
I'd sue the replacement. Whoever owns...
I'd sue the Amazon worker that dropped the box on my head. All right, well, this is irrelevant. Sorry, I'm chewing on a bagel.
Connor spent like two minutes before we started recording. He had this thing stuck in his teeth, and every time he thought it was good, he's like, okay, we'll start. Three. Nope, it's back. Okay, I'm ready, I'm good. Three. Nope, it's back. He just like puts his hand in his mouth. It's just like... His entire hand in his mouth, he's, like, clawing around, and then he does this.
That was not what happened.
Well, it basically was, and then your entire, both hands at a time were both in your mouth, and it felt like, it looked like you were, like, in a wrestling match with your tongue. It was weird.
That is not in at all what happened.
Oh, it totally was.
Okay.
It totally was.
Well, aside from that, for today's episode, we are going to be talking about the infamous Quidditch. But before we begin, I have a small rant. So, in our neighborhood today, they are servicing the pipes, right? And this means you cannot drink the water during the next, like, we can't drink the water from the pipes for the next, like, 3 days or something.
Unless you want to have a thimble-sized amount of lead in your body.
Yes, we learned that a thimble-sized amount of lead is dangerous.
No, I'm kidding. I was messing with you.
No, yeah. It was like a fifth of a gallon or something. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But... We learned this, so yeah, and I get up late today, and I crawl out of bed, I sit on the couch like a shriveled up bat that has just been in the sun for the first time, and then I slowly meander my way outside, not like outside, but like into the bathroom, and I grab my cup, and I go,
I'm loving these sounds.
And I drink an entire glass of water. And then I walk down the stairs, and I see the water bottles on the table, and I'm like, wait a sec, was this today? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I just chugged an entire glass of water. No one told me that that's all full of lead. I chugged an entire glass of water full of lead. So thanks for that.
I just have to say, those water sounds were spot on. You should get an Oscar for sound editing.
Oh, I have one already.
Oh, you do? Oh, right. It was probably for the sound design you made. It was probably... I can't speak. It probably came from all those sounds you made when both your hands were in your mouth trying to get that little piece of food out of your braces.
So yeah, now I'm chilling. First of all, my name is Sound Editing Joe, obviously. Mm. But now I'm chilling here with my two water bottles.
Rationing out. And you're squeezing
those
them.
Were made. Those noises were made by my mouth as well. I'm obviously making that with my mouth, not with two water bottles in my hands.
He totally doesn't have two water bottles with blue packets in his hands. And he totally didn't just place them down the left hand first and then the right hand second. That totally did not happen. Connor Hernan totally has a master... I was just about to say something, yeah, but I thought about 2 seconds ahead. I'm like, that would sound so weird if I said it that way. And now he's drinking water.
Don't say it that way, then.
Okay.
But yeah, we are talking about the infamous Quidditch from Harry Potter. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, we were planning on recording a few episodes today, and Connor was planning on saving another story for the next episode. But this just fits too well. Connor writes me about 30 minutes ago and says he's reading. So I was like, "Oh, you're taking marijuana?" He's like, "No, I'm reading." So he sends me a picture of him with these two huge weeds in his hands, and they do I will say they do look a bit like cannabis indica.
No, they don't.
A bit. They look.
Stop trying to convince.
They look a bit like cannabis indica. So then, about 10 minutes ago, Connor's just eating on his bread, like he's doing right now. He's like, his bagel, I mean. He's like, my hands are shaking so much. He's like, I hope it's not the lead. I'm like, well, you were dealing with cannabis indica in your garden, weren't you?
I wasn't.
You were. It fits so well. It's so well. Connor Hernan, you are high right now.
My hands stopped shaking, which is good.
You are no longer high right now. You were high, though.
I was never high, guys. He's trying to convince you that I'm doing illegal drugs. Cops, please
stay away.
Marijuana
is not illegal, though, no.
Yeah, but you have to acquire it legally.
You do have to acquire it legally. The same way you have to acquire a gun legally. But guns aren't illegal.
You know what? Let's move away from all these shifty things and start talking about Quidditch.
I just looking at this picture with amazement. You're just standing in front of me. In this picture, your chest is out. You're holding these two cannabis indica stalks.
They're not cannabis.
It is.
It's not.
They're twice as tall as you.
I was having a weeding competition with my mom. And I was on my sister. Not weed. Weeding.
Weeding. I wonder what.
I was on my.
So you mean the action? Team. Wait. So weeding is the action of taking weed. Is that what you're saying? I'm just trying to annoy you. He'll stop.
You just wasted an entire story that we could have told in an entire another episode.
I know, but like I said, it fits so well. I have all these dots connected.
Just because my hands were shaking while I was eating a bagel?
I have quotes of you. I have you on record, like, 10 years ago, quoting a bunch of suspicious things. I lay those quotes out. I have newspapers. I have red dots. I have red string connecting all this. I have the timetable perfectly aligned. I have every single moment of your suspicious life lined up perfectly, and you are aggressively drinking water right now in front of me, and it makes me extremely uncomfortable.
My entire house smells like popcorn, and it's making me sad. But Quidditch!
Quidditch! Well...
So let me start off with, I think Quidditch is kind of dumb.
Yeah. I like watching it. Fun. I think it's fun to watch. I really hate that Goblet of Fire, the movie, left out Quidditch, because I was looking forward to it so much, because it's one of the best parts of the book, but they left it out, and I'm sad, and it's fun to watch, even though the logistics are, like, it makes no sense, because as you say, this is Seekers.
Well, wait, don't start devolving my whole argument yet.
Okay, but.
So let me start off with why I hate Quidditch. So I don't hate Quidditch. Here's what I think. Quidditch is primarily designed to push the plot along. It's designed as a tool to drive the plot.
And also to keep the story, like, to make the story Hogwarts-centered, you know? Like,
and to make, like, Harry unique as well.
And also, it also just to remind you that you're at Hogwarts. Like, Harry has all this hormonal teenager stuff going around.
Yeah,
drama,
it makes it more like a school
movie. Drama
as
left
well,
and right. But
show,
then if you just have something besides, like, the feast every so often, it's just a moment to bring the entire school together to make it still seem like a school.
It's designed primarily as a... It is, granted, J.K. Rowling, it's a very good plot device. device.
You just said J.K. Rowling. Right? You just said J.K. Rowling is a good plot device.
No, I said. Did I say that?
Yeah.
The lead is getting to me.
The lead. Oh, well, more the cannabis.
Okay. But it's a very, very good plot device, but it also needs to be a sport, because that's literally what it is, and it is a terrible sport.
It's a terrible sport, but it's so much fun to watch.
Not in the movies. It looks horrible.
It actually doesn't look too horrible.
Have you seen the first movie?
Well, the first movie came out in 2000. CGI was terrible back then. But Half-Blood Prince, the Quidditch scene in Half-Blood Prince, I love that. It looks great. The one in Prisoner of Azkaban looks very good. Chamber of Secrets is decent. It looks a little wonky, but it's still Quidditch. It's fun to watch. And I think most of the time you're so invested in the movies already that you just don't have to care about what's going on in the sport itself, because it has little to do with anything, but it's just there. It's just something that you look forward to. Kind of like whenever something's dull in the books, you always know that there's probably a Quidditch match coming up. Like in Prisoner of Azkaban, every time something's getting boring and the school year's up, Harry always like mourns about how he has a Quidditch match coming up, and he's so nervous every single time. It's also weird how they have like 5 Quidditch matches during the entire year, or 4. It's so weird.
Mm-hmm. Again, Quidditch is an amazing plot point, and you don't notice it, and you do get excited for it. But once, if you take it out of the context of Harry Potter, and just think of it as a sport, it ultimately is a terrible, terrible sport.
Yeah, but I think we can both agree about that. And the main reason is, do you want to make your point about
the main reason? Is the snitch. Like, the whole point of sports is it's a team sport. It's supposed to be a team sport, but it's not a team sport. As long as your seeker is good and your chasers aren't trash, you're going to win. You just, like, no, I don't see why any seeker would be dumb enough to pull a crumb and catch the snitch when they're down. Like, just let the game go on. You can't lose anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the snitch is way too important. They need to change it so the snitch does one of those things. The way to fix Quidditch is just to make it either to make the snitch either end the game or to make the snitch only give you 150 points, and then there'd be a timed game.
Right. I don't like how
that literally Quidditch is fixed if you do one of those two things.
I don't like how the game ends only when you get the snitch, because if you get the snitch, you basically have a 90% chance of winning. No?
Yeah.
So it's like, basically,
again, the way to fix it is you just either make the game end when you get the snitch, or you only get the points.
Can anyone on the team catch the snitch, or only the seeker?
Yeah, another thing. There's no rule. I don't know if there's any rules about having to have specific types of teams. Why not just get all your teams out there as a seeker, and then it doesn't matter?
Exactly. But we both know, I think most people know that it just makes no sense, but still. It's just such a good plot device, because it's always something to look forward to. And
yeah,
because
it's literally in its structure, innately, it's designed to be a plot device first and a sport second.
Yep. And I still think
it's a plot device disguised as a sport.
In the movies, I still do think it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't. I just think it looks terrible in the first movie.
In the first movie, yes. Well, everything looks terrible in the first movie, because their budget was minuscule.
Yeah, I've always wondered how they didn't. Like, what book, how many books were out by that time?
Let's see.
I think it came out after Goblet of Fire. Or Order of the Phoenix.
I'm Googling it right now. So
all I know is they were at least by the third or fourth movie when Order of the Phoenix came out.
Right.
Because there's an interview out there of Gary Oldman being sad when
sure
he read
it was
the book because he killed off Sirius.
I'm pretty sure it was between Goblet of Fire and Order of the Phoenix. Because Order of the Phoenix,
the first movie came out?
Yes, Order of the Phoenix was in 2003, and Goblet of Fire was in 2000s. So.
Jeez Louise, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for the people who were reading these as they came out.
Oh, heck yeah. The first one came out in 97, and then the last one came out in 07. Basically,
that's 10 years,
10 years
bro.
Of your life, and I can see it by so
Imagine
many people.
Imagine waiting.
I can see why so many people are completely invested in it, because at that point it probably was your childhood, you know.
I'm completely invested in it, and I wasn't even alive when they were coming out. Yeah. I was alive for like the last one.
Yeah, I was alive for the last three.
Wait, when were the last couple?
Order of the Phoenix.
Deathly Hallows came out in 2007.
Nope, sorry, last two. Half-Blood Prince was 2005. Deathly Hallows was 2007.
Yeah. But, like, I know, I feel that, I've always been surprised when I hear, like, it still surprises me to this day, even though I've known it for a long time, that they started making the movies only halfway through the book series.
Mm-hmm.
And then it causes you to think, how much influence did the books have on the or the movies have on the books?
Probably a good amount at a certain point.
Because I think there has to be a certain amount of influence that those movies, the first couple of movies, provided to J.K. while she was writing the book. So I'd bet money there are certain Definitely. Easter eggs about, like, actors and stuff.
Yeah, it probably also, a lot of the characters probably switched around a bit as well. I just haven't noticed it. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, but anyway, back to Quidditch. It just works so well. It's like, it just adds kind of like a binding to every single book. It's just that thing that you can always look forward to, you know?
I'm going to say it again. Quidditch is a plot device, a very, very good plot device. It gives Harry something other than being Voldemort's, you know, blood relative. Not blood relative,
also,
blood enemy.
It also
enemy.
Has...
I cannot talk!
It also gives us more Draco, which is awesome.
It gives more Draco. It gives Voldemort more, it gives Harry specialness.
I was going to say, what does that have to do with Voldemort?
I sound like I'm having a seizure. I cannot talk.
Yeah.
It gives Harry something that makes him special other than being Voldemort's enemy.
Yeah.
And it also creates miniature conflicts throughout the year, so right. It doesn't get, like, stale.
Yeah. Like, on the topic of Quidditch, and kind of going off topic as well, when it comes to Ron, at a certain point, he just has nothing to do. You've noticed that, right? He's just Ron's just there because Ron definitely was introduced in the first book just to give Harry more a bigger eye into the Wizarding world. That's obvious.
Ron essentially, I think the biggest purpose of his character is obviously for Harry to have a best friend, but also.
But, like, in the lab,
Harry and Hermione need a way to, you know, learn these things about the Wizarding world.
Yeah, but at a certain point, like, during their third year, he's already accustomed to it enough, so Ron has nothing to do. And so in the fourth book, Ron's just there. In the fifth book, Ron's just there. Half-Blood Prince, Ron's just there. But then Deathly Hallows, he does do stuff again.
Well, in the fourth book, Ron and Harry, it provides Harry and Ron with that argument that makes an interesting dynamic throughout the entire book.
Wait, which one?
The fourth book, sorry.
You mean the one that lasts, like, three chapters?
One that lasts, like, half the book.
You mean in between the first task and the, like, it's in between the Goblet of Fire and the first task? That lasts, like, that lasts, like, four chapters.
I need to read these books again.
I just finished Goblet of Fire.
I'm stuck in the eternal conflict because I really want to read Harry Potter again, but I also read it too much, and I also have to finish my summer reading, and I only have a week left for that.
Nice. What book are you reading?
It's just called Mythology.
Mythology. What is it? Greek? Roman?
Greek.
Greek mythology.
Greek mythology is the best, by the way.
It is. Greek mythology.
So much fun.
We look like one thing I just love is when I was doing Greek literature, I just loved how much of it was just Greek mythology. Like I know it's literature, but then, like, a lot of times there were things that were more real, but then I loved how Greek literature then also has tons of mythology at the same time. Like the Iliad.
Mythology in any form is so much fun, except for Roman mythology. I don't like Roman mythology because it's just rip off Greek mythology.
Yeah. Kind of like,
Greek mythology, like Norse mythology.
Kind of like Roman literature and Greek literature are extremely similar in a lot of ways. Like, kind of like the Aeneid. It's kind of like the Odyssey. A lot like the Odyssey.
I've never actually read the Odyssey.
Are you kidding me?
I think we're reading it this year for school.
I love the Odyssey.
I love the story of the Odyssey, though.
Yep.
I remember there was this museum we went to once.
Oh, I remember that.
Were you there?
Yep, I remember
that. We made, like, little shields or something.
Yep, and then, like, the ship.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Then they had, like, the little, the, or whatever his name is, the Cyclops. with the sheep. Yes. That was awesome.
That was like the best time ever. That. Going to museums is like my happy place. Like there's, I'm not going to say what they're called, but like in the major city by our house, or not by our house, by near where we live, there's like a couple of major like museums and stuff. And legit, it's so much fun to just go there and just walk around.
Yeah, I don't really see a problem with telling them where, like, what city we're nearby. We're near. Do you see a problem with that?
I don't know. Do you?
Not really.
Should we?
I don't care. You can go for it.
No, you go for it.
Okay, fine. I don't wanna. Well, we live near Chicago. Chicago!
So near in Chicago, there's these great like
just to get museums. More insight into this, so we can talk about
Field
more.
Museum, the Museum of Science and Industry, the Shedd Aquarium,
the Art Museum,
and the Planetarium, the Adler Planetarium.
I love all those.
All four museums. Of those places are just so much fun. I know. And I can't get over it.
Okay, I know that a lot. Like whenever I see like. Whenever I go to art museums or just museums in general, I see all those little school groups and they just look like they're having the worst time ever. They just feel like it looks like I just hate how all these kids are acting like they're being dragged along on this boring field trip. But museums
it's so much fun.
Are the best thing ever. It's like everyone there is there for the same reason, and everyone there who's going there likes what they're going there for, you know?
So mostly. Out of curiosity, or first of all, the reason we're talking about school groups is because we're actually both homeschooled right now.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
Well, online
and
school.
So
we do school.
Well, he does online school, and yep. I'm going to school
don't
this year.
Don't let this mistake
rest
you. Don't mistake homeschooling for your mommy teaches you everything. Homeschooling. Like,
yeah, no.
I take an online high school where I have the same amount of classes, same amount of hours, but it's online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did the same last year, kind of.
Yeah.
But this year I'm going to school. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we would just sort of when we go to these museums, we're sort of not in like a big group, and if we are, it's like actually fun.
Yep.
But yeah, like I don't even. Am I shameful for not like reading some of the things? I mostly just kind of look at it all.
You mean like read about it? I read about the things I'm curious about. A lot of things like. If I see a painting,
yeah, I'm not gonna. That's true. I'm
like,
not
I know there are people
read,
who
like,
go there and like,
signs.
And like have their notebook. They see, oh, this poem by Monet. What was Monet thinking at this time? What
I'm
was
not even
age
talking about the
time?
Art Institute. I don't
what
like the
family
Art Institute.
Matters
I don't like art.
At this time. I don't care. It's a painting. It looks nice. We'll stick with that. A lot of times I did like, I know like at museums with like taxidermy and stuff with prehistoric animals. I do like reading. About those, so I actually know what I'm looking at.
So I hate to break it to you, but the Art Institute does not make it onto my four places. Sorry.
I can understand that.
I'll read stuff that I'm interested in, but I've been told by like people like if we are going on field trips, because we have like a bunch of we're sort of in this large community full of homeschool people.
Yeah.
And if we do go on field trips with like those people, like I'll have people tell me occasionally, Connor, why are you not reading every single sign? And I'm like, I don't care.
I remember
I just
one
want
time,
to look at this stuff and read what interests me.
I remember one time we did like a little competition where we had to find a bunch of things in the museum, and that totally depended on you reading everything. It was terrible.
Was that for that 5K?
Yes.
Bro, we won that.
I know, but...
Ah, victory.
But
we got shorts. They gave us a pair of shorts.
But here's the thing. It was fun, but you literally had to read everything. Because like if you're racing through the museum, racing to read everything, you're not looking at the art, and you're just not enjoying it as much, you know?
But like when we were there, so... My family was there, not, like, separately, but, like, everyone took a bus, but we weren't on the bus. So,
okay, no joke.
We just
I found
were there after
my team.
We were just there after everyone else, and I got super depressed after everyone left. I felt, like, so alone for no reason.
That's sad.
But yeah, it's very sad. Do you like going to, like, aquariums and zoos and stuff? Does that stuff interest you?
I like parts of zoos. I like zoos when there aren't billions of school children around. Just like little preschoolers around, just because it feels too much like a kiddie park. I like
going to zoos when I'm with other people.
Yep,
I
like going to zoos with friends if there's just nothing to do. I like aquariums. Aquariums are cool. They're boring, but they're cool. And all in all, zoos are just fun to go around. You know, it's just like the atmosphere. The atmosphere is cool. I'm not really obsessed with, okay, I will say this. When I was like 5 years old, ages 5 to 10, I was obsessed with every type of animal. I would constantly be reading them. I read like 80 naturalist books in a year. I was obsessed with them.
But I've never really liked animals, but like going to zoos are just, it's just fun.
Yeah. I was that type of person to know like all that Australian wildlife by name. And
oh, the best animals
now,
in the zoo are
now
the
I don't remember
echidnas.
Any of it. My mind's completely blank. I don't know any Australian animals.
The echidnas are the best animals in the zoo, and you cannot change my mind. But zoos aren't, like, I'm not into animals or anything. It's just a fun atmosphere to just go, like, chill at and walk around with, like, friends and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I love, whenever we're talking about something that has a lot, like, whenever we choose a topic that really has a lot of potential, we always just run away from it and talk about real life.
Moral of this story is museums are my happy place.
Museums are the happy place, not your.
Another
happy
weird
place.
Thing about my family is that it's not a vacation for our family if we don't visit the house of one president. And that's the weirdest thing ever. I think that's relevant to history. I don't know, but it's still an interesting thing. Yeah. Like most people just like go and like chill at pools and hotels or beaches or stuff.
I visited the house of most presidents.
Yeah, like, it's hilarious.
Just visit the White House and you can see I visited every single White House.
I met childhood homes.
Almost every single president. I visited George Washington's house, Abraham Lincoln's house, and the White House.
Oh, yeah, Springfield is super cool.
I love Springfield.
Who knows, though? Maybe once I'm president, maybe people will come down to this house that I'm in right now. So, and they'll be like, yes, this is the room where Connor, president, last name, recorded a podcast for all to hear.
So this basically ruined my, like, the first time I went to Springfield, I was so hyped, and this basically almost ruined my trip. So we went to see this one, like, haunted library show where it talks about like how this one library is haunted by the ghost of Abraham Lincoln and stuff. And I saw it. We should see the show.
Oh, yeah, we saw that.
And then I'm like, oh my gosh, that library is haunted, and I need to see the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. I need to go to that library and see the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. So I just go with like one of my family members. I'm like, yes, I'm going to see it. I'm going to see the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. And then I walk in, and you know what I see? I see a standard library. It's modern. It's boring. No ghost of Abraham Lincoln, and my heart sunk. I go to the front desk. I'm like, hey, where's the ghost of Abraham Lincoln? I go to the front desk.
Actually,
like,
asked them?
I was like, hey, where's the ghost of Abraham Lincoln? They're like, oh, sorry, I don't know what you mean. And then my family member's like, oh, we saw the show over there, and my son thinks that it's haunted here. And they're like, oh, that's so sweet. Well, my day was ruined. I was like, my life is a lie. My life is a lie. I was told that this library is haunted. So when I go in there expecting to see this like haunted mansion, dreary library with like cobwebs everywhere and like moldy.
You're
going
to
want
to go to Disney World if you want to haunted mansion.
But then when I see it's just a modern library with art deco stuff, like beanbag chairs everywhere and colorful books. And my day was dead. I was so disappointed.
I'm very disappointed in those librarians for not being actually fun.
I know.
Like, it is my goal as a human being to just be as fun as possible, no matter what I am doing as an adult.
Okay, our old library had the best librarians ever. They'd like, come by every, like, 30 or 40 minutes and ask if you need help or something. Sometimes, like, they brought you a water bottle or something. It was awesome.
Oh, gosh, that would drive me insane.
What? No,
if they came to me every 30 or 40 minutes.
No. If you weren't doing something, like, if you were just walking around, they'd come to you, hey, do you need help with something? If you're reading, they'd bring you like a water bottle or something. It was nice.
One time, this reminds me, one time I was shopping for shoes because I needed a new pair of shoes. And that something like that drove me insane. There's this guy who was like, literally, he worked there and there's no one else in the store. So he was just like watching me like shop for shoes. Like, yeah, that's this and that's this. And I'm like, just leave me alone. I'm trying to buy my shoes.
Okay.
Like, it makes me so uncomfortable when people are just, like, constantly
people
at your
help
elbow.
You too much are really annoying, but I'm just saying the libraries, they were so chill. They didn't really quiet you down if you were just talking. They were awesome. But here's another thing. You were talking about shoes, and this shoes or clothing, and clothing leads to Harry Potter in a way. One thing that I've always been slightly like put off about is the difference in clothing from the movies and the books. And the books.
Oh yes, the age old question: do they wear clothes under their robes?
No. In the books, they're wearing their robes. It was through the entire day. Like when they go to Hogsmeade, they have robes on. But in the books, in the common room and stuff, they're just wearing regular clothes.
So what I want to know is, in the books, it's obviously very heavily hinted at that, like...
And then they were like
back to Quidditch. At the Quidditch World Cup, it's very heavily hinted at that wizards are terrible at dressing like muggles. Yeah. Like there's that guy who's like wearing a dress.
But in the book, so everyone's dressed like
a nice wind
like
around his... Huh?
But it's not dressing like a muggle, it's dressing like a normal human being. In the books...
Yeah, but they're wizards. But I like the way the books do that.
But in the books, they make it like, literally, like, they're, everyone knows what jeans are, everyone knows what jackets, and everyone knows what a jacket is. They wear them on their off time, you know?
That's in the movies.
But it's, like, kind of like, I know, I just find it so weird in the book how, like... wizards don't wear normal clothing. They wear wizarding.
Okay, yeah, that is actually kind of weird.
Does that mean the gap
between wizards and muggles is way too big. Like, there's this one scene particularly that knocks me off my kilter where Arthur Weasley does not know how muggle money works, but it's just paper with numbers on it, and I'm pretty dang sure they know how to count.
Yeah, that's always been weird, the large gap. I always like it to be like, if you see a wizard in public, you probably wouldn't know right away until... you see them do magic. I've always liked that idea because it makes it seem like the wizarding world is in your world, but it's hidden. But it's still close to you.
I think it works both ways, but you gotta make it like make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense that Arthur Weasley doesn't know how muggle money works.
And then also,
like, he's obsessed with muggles, first of all. And it's just paper with numbers.
And it just brings it, like, what do they wear throughout the entire day? Do they just wear robes? Just wear robes throughout the entire day?
I think so, yeah.
Do they not wear pants? Do they not wear suits?
Yeah, again, it's the age-old question. Are they running around in the buff underneath their robes?
And then in the... Okay, this is another thing that always put me off. The cover art for Harry Potter, I've always hated it. Especially the first one. So, your camera fell over. So, in the movies, of course, they have, like, full gear when they're playing Quidditch. Yep, I hate that cover so much. So Connor's showing me the cover art for the Sorcerer's Stone or Philosopher's Stone, and Harry's on his broom with just a shirt, pants, and a cape. It looks so nerdy. He doesn't look
it
like
makes no sense.
It looks terrible. And in the books, they do talk about them having Quidditch robes, but it seems like the only thing is that their Quidditch robes are just colored. Wizarding robes, but that makes.
I think the Quidditch robes aren't just colored wizarding robes. I think they're also like not. What is it? Izzarding obe. I cannot talk today. I sound like I'm having
but
a stroke.
Are they like
not,
actual gear? Do they have? Like...
I think there are certainly. I think they wear like pads and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And I also think the robes are like more designed to be like more like aerodynamic and stuff.
Yeah.
But aside from the fact that he's wearing, I'm still showing him the cover art, guys. By the way, you can just look it up. Aside from the fact that he's wearing regular clothes, I actually really like this cover art. Because it's got a unicorn on there, and it's got the woods, and it's got a nice little picture of Hogwarts.
I think it's mostly just the characters I don't like. I just don't like...
It's got the three dogs right there, which is very nice.
One thing, I will say, like, the drawings are well done, but I just don't like how they portray the characters on the cover art.
Well, I got a couple more books.
Because I think whenever, like, if you've seen the Harry Potter movies, you imagine Harry is Daniel Radcliffe. You imagine Ron as, what's his name, Rupert Grint or something?
Yeah.
And then you imagine Hermione as Emma Watson. I think most people do, right?
Yeah, I do.
I just imagine, when I'm reading the books, I imagine each of the characters. When I imagine them how I see them in the movies. So
apparently in these covers, Harry Potter, at least in the first three, Harry Potter is always wearing shirts like Steve from Blue's Clues. I don't have the second one on me, but it's always like a long sleeve
like
polo
jeans.
Shirt with stripes.
Look at this. Even the cover arts portray them as like wearing regular clothes.
But I think this cover art in particular for this book is really nice, except for the clothes.
Yeah.
They just gotta fix the clothes.
And the faces a bit.
And Hermione looks like Ginny.
Yeah. I just don't like the cover art. A few weeks ago, I did look up like foreign cover art. I love the Half-Blood Prince cover art so much. Or that's Order of the Phoenix. I love Order of the Phoenix cover art. Harry looks great.
The last couple of books are very good.
Yeah, but I look up like the German Harry Potter cover art.
So I'm slowly stacking up books in front of your camera, so I gotta move them. One sec. Here's what I want to know. With this cover art for Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, tell me what you think that is that they're looking into.
The pensive.
Do you think it's the pensive, or do you think it's the bowl of strange liquid at the end of the book?
It's the pensive, I think. Here, let me see. Let me see.
I think it should be the pensive, but I think you could interpret it both ways.
Let me see the back cover. That's the dark.
I think it's the bowl of strange liquid, but it can be interpreted as the pensive. Because on the back, it's Ron, Hermione, and Ginny staring up at the dark mark on the castle.
Yeah, so it would be.
And so those two things would be happening at the same time.
Yeah, hard to tell. But
and then for the seventh book actually has really good cover art, I think. I'm trying to remember. Oh, never mind.
Okay, so
it.
What
it's just Harry
what I need you to do
hands.
Is look up the Sweden Harry Potter cover art. It looks
sadly, I don't
so...
have this fourth book. My fourth book got obliterated at some point.
Okay, so look up the Sweden Harry Potter cover art. It looks so good.
Swedish Harry Potter cover art.
It's not amazing, but also Japan has good ones, I think. Let's take a look at Japan's.
So the thing about this is I have no idea which book is which. I don't actually like it, though.
Let's see. And I know there's, like, a really good one. Look up Japan. I think Japan.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's horrible.
What is?
Look at this. I think this is the third book. Or the sixth book. Seventh book.
Wait, what? For what?
I'm texting it to you. Give me a sec. It's horrible. I'm constantly paranoid that my camera or my audio is just going to kaputty because I'm not looking at it right now. Look at this.
Okay, I'm sending.
That's horrible.
I'm sending you one. This one's perfect. I found the best cover art I've ever seen. I'm sending it to you. We can probably put these in the description.
Look how bad that cover art I just sent you is.
Oh, that looks bad. Okay, look at the one I sent you. That looks like good cover art. I think that looks really good. It has the scale correct. It has the perfect scale.
Oh, yeah, those are nice.
Those are really
but
nice.
Those are American versions.
Yes.
Those are the newest versions.
Yeah, I'm always picky about what kind of books I get. I really like hardcover books. And if a hardcover book has, like, a weird paper cover that doesn't look nice, I'll just tear it off, throw it away, and I'll just have my plain... opaque color book, and I'm fine.
Why are these books so cool?
You mean the covers?
Now I need these covers.
I know, it looks so nice. It looks so smooth.
I would say I might replace my fourth book that got destroyed with like one that looks like this, but I kind of have a sort of set going on.
But like it has like the perfect mixture of the different, it has like, it looks like a mix between the movies and the books, you know? It has like the book, it has like the child, like the fantasy aspect of the books, but then also has the more realistic aspect of the movies kind of mixed together.
Do you have the? Have you ever seen the illustrated editions?
No.
Are they good? I'm actually not a huge fan of their style.
Let's see.
By the way, guys, I'll link all these down below. I'll link the bad one under. I'll just put bad cover art, and I'll link his one under good cover art, and you can just look up the illustrated ones.
Oh, do you like books with illustrations?
I don't mind it. I just don't like the
and
not art style.
Not great. I know there's one where they don't show the characters' faces, and it looks good because I hate seeing characters' faces on the covers because I can't imagine them. Because it just puts me off.
Jackie, I don't know what you're talking about. The Swedish covers are abysmal.
No, some of them. Let's see. Which one do I like? I like the. Oh, what is that? Is that 1, 2, 3, 4? It's Goblet of Fire. No, that. Yeah, that is Order of the Phoenix.
I just sent you some really cool. It's not cover art.
And Deathly Hallows. Order of the Phoenix and Deathly Hallows look good.
My art that I'm trying to send you is not sending.
Okay.
That was okay.
Don't worry.
I'm going to try again, guys. I'm going to try and link this all down below. I'll put my bad cover art that I found under bad cover art. I'll put the really good cover arts that we both like under good cover art.
Yep.
I'll put his two good Swedish ones under good Swedish cover art. And I'll put the ones I just sent under
good art. But back to like the Quidditch costume.
Wait. Quickly before you go back.
Okay.
Just look at that last picture I sent you.
Okay, let's take
that's not cover art, but it's very cool art for each book.
Let's see this.
It's like a different
representation. That's an interesting style. I want this.
It's really cool because it's a different representation of each of the same picture based on what's happening in each book.
And you can tell what's going on in the book. You can tell. I can tell which books these are just by looking at
it.
It
just takes something iconic from each book.
Yep.
And puts it on the kind of like that. For the seventh book, Hogwarts is like crumbling.
Yeah.
And Harry, Ron, and Hermione are standing there. For the third book, it's like green, and I think it's got the dark mark.
No, and look at the Half-Blood Prince book. It has the Avada Kedavra spell at the top.
Sorry, I meant the sixth book for that. Yeah.
Did you see that?
For the fifth book, it's got the Thestrals.
Yep.
And a centaur. For the fourth book, it's got a large crowd. I think the fourth book might be my favorite, or the third.
I like the third one a lot. Just like that, white stag.
The third has the stag. The second has the Ford Anglia, and the first is just Hogwarts.
Yep.
Actually, no. I think there's something at the bottom, but I can't make it out.
Those do look like the Hogwarts from the movies as well, especially the bridge in the front.
I honestly don't know, but I think it's very cool because it's like it's literally the same thing on each one, just with one cool differentiator.
And the background, really like that. The background is great as well.
It's actually quite beautiful.
Yeah. But anyway, back to Quidditch. I don't know if they, I don't know if it was just a failure for her to explain their costumes, but every time she just says they got into their Quidditch robes, I'm like, are they just wearing colorful robes, or do they actually have gear? Because in the movies,
I think they're probably colorful robes with like certain different things.
Every single costume in the movies are perfect, I think. Like for everything.
I'm trying to think, huh?
Every single one.
It just annoys me that Harry is wearing the same outfit in every single movie.
Like what?
He's got that red shirt and like that gray jacket, and he wears it like three movies in a row or something. And he's also got this blue t-shirt that he always wears.
Let me look at this. Harry Potter.
Like Google, let me Google it. Let me see. But yeah, I think the movies do a pretty good job of representing.
Oh, I see what you mean. He has like a blue shirt throughout all the movies.
Harry Potter blue t-shirt.
I think it's because he doesn't really grow in height.
Like he's got it in at least three movies.
He has it in every single
movie. I mean, he's wearing it in the seventh. He's wearing it,
so he's wearing it in the third. He's wearing it in the fourth. He's wearing it.
Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. He has this blue shirt.
Yeah, not the sixth one.
He's literally wearing it when he dies.
He's not wearing it. Spoiler alert. I don't think he's wearing it in the sixth one. Is he?
Yeah, he is. There's multiple pictures here. I Googled it. The red jacket.
Yep, that's from the fifth one.
No, it's not.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about not Deathly Hallows Part 1. He doesn't wear that. I meant the seventh movie.
Well, look, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. But he wears this shirt.
But I like the
a lot.
I just like the casual look they have in the movies. It just looks normal, you know. And if it's.
I think it's fine. I like to call. I've gotten to the point where I like to call, the fourth movie the one where they don't cut their hair ever.
I kind of like that. I just love how.
Oh, gosh, why?
No, it just looks. It just sets it up. I don't know. It just kind of sets it apart a bit.
It's like all of a sudden everyone's hair is long for no reason.
Yep.
But Quidditch is, what do you think about professional Quidditch?
As a sport, it makes no sense. But like I said countless times, I wish they had the Quidditch World Cup in the movie. Just a brief bit, like 2 minutes. They could have had like, it could have even been a flashback, kind of like the quaffle goes up. There were like a few goals, and it's just like boom, boom, boom. Boom, and then maybe like Crumb gets the snitch, and then it cuts to Mr. Weasley lighting the fire. I just want a bit, just a bit of it, because I've It's just one of the most...
Did they cut out the Vila and the leprechauns? I can't remember.
Yes, they did. Those are good. I like those in the book. But the buildup is so big. They're just talking about how great the Quidditch World Cup's going to be, and then they don't show the Quidditch World Cup.
Also, they cut out Winky.
Winky. Winky's awesome.
They shouldn't have done that. It took away from Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah.
By the way, Barty Crouch Jr. is so good in the movies.
He is. David Tennant.
David Tennant is so good.
He also plays the Doctor.
Well, yeah, I've never watched that.
And the Doctor. Yep.
David Tennant as Barty Crouch, for some reason, he kind of reminds me of Heath Ledger's Joker.
It just no one else could play him like that. Or just like...
Character.
One thing that's really funny is they both lick the sides of their mouth.
Yeah, that's probably it. Okay, let me remind you. I haven't seen any of these movies in a good 8-9 months. So I don't remember a lot because my brain just refuses to keep in information. But... So I'm giving all these opinions on books and movies. Like, my Harry Potter brain has the ability to remember, like, the tiniest details, but, like, forget, like, the biggest things.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird.
That's funny.
But, yeah, they shouldn't have got rid of Winky.
Yeah, Winky's awesome. I love how...
I think the setup... Oh, you
I love how she's, like, a butterbeer-aholic. I just love it.
What do you think of butterbeer? I think it's fun.
I've never had it.
Me neither.
I know they sell it at the Wizarding World at Universal.
Bro, I want to go to the Wizarding World so bad.
I don't really know if I want to or not. I've looked at pictures and it just looks kind of cheap. Like, I looked at Diagon Alley. It looks unfinished.
I went there once when I was like 7, and all I remember is going on some hippogriff ride and not knowing what Harry Potter was.
Did any of your family read Harry
Potter? I forever regret that now.
Did anyone in your family read Harry Potter when you went there?
Well, my mom was obsessed with Harry Potter long before I was.
Was she?
So, yeah, I had to go on this hippogriff ride while my mom and my grandpa went on the actual good ride.
Did she?
Because I was like 6.
Did she write about it or something? Did she write about it or something?
No, we were just there because our grandparents used to live
books.
Like right by it. What?
I mean the books when your mom read it.
Why would she write about them?
Wait, I thought she like... wrote things.
I mean, she does, but she just liked the books.
Okay, sorry, okay.
I'm so confused. But yeah, so I forever regret the fact that I had no idea what Harry Potter was while I was there.
Yep.
And that fact will always haunt me.
Yeah.
Also, just while we're on the topic of things down there, going to Star Wars Land would also be so much fun.
Wait, you mean...
Galaxy's Edge.
We went to Galaxy's Edge. It's awesome.
Bruh.
It looks beautiful.
You lucky duck.
We went there last year when I went on a trip to California, and it is awesome. Like, the lines were huge. They had, like,
Didn't you guys go, like, right after it opened?
Yeah. Like, it was, like...
Because I know it opened in, like, May or something.
We went there, like, 2 days before it opened. Or, like, 2 days after it opens.
Yeah. But I want to go down there so bad.
It was just good timing, honestly. I didn't know it opened yet, so we were looking at the brochure, and oh look, Galaxy's Edge is open. You know.
But sadly, my grandparents don't live in Florida anymore, so there's no excuse
to
go down there.
Neither do mine.
Oh, you're talking about the one in California, right?
I'm talking about the one in California.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss Florida. We used to go there all the time.
Florida is like so much fun.
Yeah. Like, my family thinks it's boring, but I just go there because nostalgia.
It's so fun.
Because I used to go there every year.
So, yeah, we used to go there every year as well with our grandparents, and
yep.
We hadn't gone since, like, 2014, 2013, and we went in 2019 or 2018, can't remember which, and it was like, holy crap, blast from the past, what the heck? It was, like, so many memories that I, like, kind of have, but, like, don't have at the same time, just, like, hitting me in the face, and it was insane. Is it weird that one of the biggest memories I have is playing with, like, those little, like, roly-poly bugs?
Nope. Not at all.
Is that weird?
Nope.
And planting tomatoes.
Planting tomatoes?
Planting tomatoes.
Planting tomatoes. You mean the devil's fruit?
I hate tomatoes.
I hate tomatoes. Indeed. Tomatoes.
Virtual fist bump.
Boop.
Yeah. Tomatoes are the spawn of... the naughty man.
Jar Jar Binks.
Yes. Mr. Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Anyway.
Excuse me.
I think we should probably end this episode off now. We kind of were all over the place, but luckily we did kind of get back to Harry Potter in the end. So kudos to us.
I'm sure we'll end up talking about it again, because I always feel like when I'm done with these episodes, I always feel like there are a billion things I wish I said, but
first,
I didn't say.
Okay. First, it was Star Wars. For like the first 20 episodes, we would nonstop talk about Star Wars, and now it's Harry Potter. What's next? Lord of the Rings? Find out next time from the Watchables.
And now we go to record episodes that probably aren't going to come out for months. Yay!
Okay.
But yeah, the moral of the story is Quidditch is a plot device, not a sport. Harry Potter movies are pretty good, look pretty good, except for the first one.
And museums are your happy place.
I really want to go to Harry Potterland, and museums are our safe space.
They're perfection.
So yeah, I'm sure we'll touch on Quidditch again, because I always finish these things being like, well, I should have said that, but I didn't. And I'm always tempted to put in 80 billion editor's notes giving my real thoughts, and I have to hold back.
And then Connor...
not my real thoughts. I give my real thoughts. Thoughts that I forgot to have.
Connor messaged me last night about our last episode. He's like, oh gosh, I wish I could change what I said about Rogue One. That always happens to me. Because I was...
Yeah, my opinions just, like, change really fast.
I say things, and I'm like, oh, this is such a good point. Why didn't I bring this up? You know?
Yeah, it's not like my opinions change. I just, after listening to it, I feel like I got all the wording wrong.
Yep.
But that's life.
Yep.
So we will see you all next time.
Boop.
Peace out, nerds.
Peace.